This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us as we fill in for Jake Asmund this morning on Wake Up Call. Coming up, we'll talk more about the NBA Finals. Game 4 tonight, Milwaukee trying to even things up while Phoenix up 2-1. We'll try to take that 3-1 series lead back with them to the desert. I hope for a close game. We haven't seen one in these finals, but Giannis is on a really good tear. He's had two consecutive games with 40-plus points and 10-plus rebounds, coming off a 41-13 performance in Game 3 in Milwaukee. They were never worried. That was the one thing about the Bucks. They were never worried being down 0-2. They knew once they got home, they could even things up and then just take the series from there. You see a lot of teams kind of do this. They don't panic. That's why we were impressed with the Clippers when they weren't panicking down 0-2 to Dallas, but they lost their first two games at home. It's really hard to win on the road. Milwaukee felt like once we got home, the energy of the crowd, the comfort of being at home was going to allow us to be more competitive in this game. And what they're seeing from Giannis is so different than what they thought he was going to do at the beginning of the series. Beginning of the series, we were sort of looking at him going, is he going to play? And if he plays, what percentage of Giannis are we going to get? 70, 65, hyperextended knee, where you're not getting a degree, right? It's a hyperextended knee, but you're not really sure how he's handling it. He has been magnificent, and he's done everything that you want him to do, from the lateral movement, diagonal, being able to cut into the paint, being able to get offensive and defensive rebounds, the way he was able to score against any sort of anybody that was defending him by the Suns, who are a very good defensive team. He was just able to manipulate that to his will. That's a great sign for the Bucks, because as we saw him grow coming back from the injury at the start of this series, he's now the Giannis that you want. If you're the NBA, you market your stars, but it's really important that you market your stars when they're healthy and very effective, and that's exactly what he's doing. So we'll get into more of that coming up. Also, Team USA has rebounded from back-to-back losses against Argentina, but there still seems to be a problem with Greg Popovich. We'll talk about that coming up next. We'll also get into the All-Star game last night. There were missing All-Stars. Is that a problem for Major League Baseball? How can they fix that as we continue? Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue on Wake Up Call. Filling in for Jake Asmund this morning on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, earn a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature. And Exergen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published peer-reviewed clinical studies. That's a lot. Visit Exergen.com. So Team USA basketball rebounded nicely. They beat Argentina by a ton. It was like 108-80. So they won comfortably. Does this get Greg Popovich off the hook for two exhibition losses? Well, he really shouldn't have been on the hook for the two exhibition losses in the first place. They're called exhibition losses, all right? They're trying to build a team and grow a team and have them gel and be ready for the Tokyo Olympics. If he loses two games at the Olympics, then he can get on his case. Now, Joe Varden, who writes for The Athletic, got in a little bit of a contentious battle with Greg Popovich, where he sort of said, hey, you're not blowing out these teams. And Popovich was trying to stand up for two things. He was kind of responded, you know, he kept saying, you want me to finish? Let me finish. Let me finish. He's trying to stand up for two things. One, the integrity of basketball, saying, look, we may be favored, but we don't go into the games thinking like that. Like when you have a point spread, let's say you say like football, you go, the Patriots are a 7-point favorite over the Cincinnati Bengals. The team isn't supposed to go, hey, we're favored by 7. That's supposed to be their thing, gambling's thing, those who bet on the game's thing. They're just trying to win the game. Popovich's point is, I don't care if I blow teams out or don't blow teams out. I'm just trying to win. And if I think I can blow a team out, then I'm disrespecting the opponent, and I don't want to disrespect the opponent, and I don't want anybody else to. The problem is that's not the way we perceive USA basketball, right? I mean, look, I talked about this yesterday. Team USA basketball, once it went into the pros in the 92 Dream Team Barcelona Olympics, has pretty much dominated global basketball. There was a period of time where the college players that were going to the Olympics were getting beat by seasoned teams, especially from Soviet bloc countries. And we didn't have as much time to gel college kids, amateur kids into a basketball team that was starting to lose. And so when the rest of the world voted for pros to be in the league, and the United States said no, but when the United States said, fine, if that's what you want, that's what you want, this is what you're going to get, USA basketball pretty much is now dominated the sport. The thing about it is every now and then some team is competitive against the U.S. and beats them. Right? We've seen it happen in the Olympics, where the United States team in 2004 played for the bronze medal. So Popovich is looking at it basketball-wise. I have an opponent. They're trying to beat us. We're trying to beat them. If we fail to do that, it's basketball. We got to get better. We got things we got to improve on. You all think we should win by 30, but that's not the way I think. My success is just winning games. My success is taking this roster and gelling it to go to Tokyo to win the Olympics. But Varden's not wrong either, because the more you play down to this level where Nigeria is beating you, even in an exhibition game in Las Vegas, it doesn't look to the American public like the United States basketball team is ready with its star, with your roster of NBA players ready to go. Now, granted, Chris Middleton is expected to join this team. Jrue Holiday is expected to join this team. Devin Booker, they're in the finals, so they're not. So obviously this team is going to be better, but even without those guys, they should roll past everybody at the Olympics. And Popovich needs to understand that's all the United States fans care about. They're not interested in a lecture on the sport. They're interested in you winning and winning by a lot and cruising and winning the gold medal. Don't give us this Matthew Dellavedova and the Australian team is just as good as we are crap, because it isn't true. Nobody in this country believes it just because Greg Popovich says it. That's the fallacy. Now, one angle to his response, which I will say I do agree with, because there's been sort of this back and forth about whether or not Popovich was appropriate to sort of get into this argument with Joe Varden in the press conference where he challenged the integrity of the games that are being played in Las Vegas by suggesting that the U.S. should win by 30, that he was protecting Bradley Beal and the guys on the team. Right, that he was protecting Kevin Durant and Beal. Like, these guys lost, and he would rather be like, I don't want you guys to answer why we didn't win by 30. I'll take that. But I don't know if I necessarily buy that. I think Pop is just trying to pull a I am smarter than you thing. He does it all the time. This is what Popovich does. He does it all the time. Right? And I like Popovich. I think he's a great coach. I like him. But he's a bully. He's always been a bully. Those antics that he has when he gets asked to come out all those years, even with Craig Sager, without Craig Sager, with Craig Sager. And I know him and Craig Sager, the late great Craig Sager, I should say. They were really good friends, and they had ultimate respect for each other. Some of it was an act, but some of them was just bullying, because he's a grumpy old man sometimes. But I'm telling you, you do not want to be a coach of a United States Olympic basketball team filled with NBA guys and lose at the Olympics. You just don't. So here's Greg Popovich getting into it with Joe Varden in Las Vegas after the second loss, which was to Australia, before last night's 28-point victory against Argentina.
When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. So, can I finish? Can I finish?
You're saying that's not true. Your average margin.
Can I finish my statement?
Like 30 points a game. In those last two tournaments that I was talking about.
Can I? You make statements about in the past just blowing out these other teams. Number one, you give no respect to the other teams. And I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams.
Can you sell that to the American people?
No.
You cannot sell that to the American people. You cannot sell that with a roster that he has. This is not the NBA. This is not a parodied event that is going to happen in Tokyo. You can sell that in the NBA.
I wouldn't even say it's an all-star team, like, you know, Team LeBron or Team Giannis.
It's not even the best player.
Better than that.
It's better. It's an outstanding roster. It is so deep, it's sick. This is not sellable. Look, if you're the Spurs, when he was riding high with the Spurs, Parker, Duncan, Ginobili, when he was riding high with that, right? If they went to play a basement dwelling New York Knicks, let's say, and they were playing at home, and the Knicks had lost 5 in a row, and the Spurs had won 10 in a row, and they lost, he could sell parity. He could say, "Look, guys, you don't realize. I don't care who we're playing. Every team in this league has the best players in the world on it. And any night, we could lose. So, no, we should not blow out the Knicks because the Knicks are a professional basketball team and they have talented guys on their team. In football, you can sell it. In the NFL, you absolutely can sell it. In baseball, it's a reality that the best teams lose to the worst teams. But this is different. Some of these teams have one or two NBA guys on it, and some of the NBA players are middle-of-the-road NBA players. He is not going to sell close wins or bad losses as, these are all awesome teams here in Tokyo. What do you think? We're supposed to win every game? Yes, by double digits. Yes! What do you think you're doing there? This isn't a tournament of spectacular basketball.
Yeah, sure. They might have a close one or two that's within 10 points. Right?
I mean, for the love of Pete, they lost to an Australian team. Those two names are Joe Ingles and Matthew Dellavedova. You have Kevin Durant! And you're trying to sell us that this is an acceptable loss? Kevin Durant alone should have outscored Australia.
And Nigeria.
What, are you kidding me? And Joe Varden, who I've talked to a number of times when he was covering the Cavaliers, he's a good basketball writer, knows his stuff, and challenged Pop and wasn't going to get bullied, and good for him.
Yeah, because most people just kind of, you know, Pop has done that for years. Where he has done that, and the reporter's gone, yeah, okay.
Right,
yeah,
because it's intimidating.
I don't want to upset you. And, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with my boss for not, you know, sticking up for myself or sticking to my guns.
I'll tell you a quick story. When I was young, I was covering the Patriots, and there was a game against the Jets. And Bill Parcells was the coach of the Patriots. He was very intimidating. I was 22 at the time, and we're in the locker room, and Parcells is at his press conference, and I was going to ask a question. And I was standing two people away from this guy that said to Bill Parcells, "Do you think you outcoached Pete Carroll today?" Because Carroll was coaching the Jets at the time. Now, it's not a good question. It's because you're asking a coach to admit that he outcoached a peer. And it's never going to go well. They're not going to admit that. So it was not a good question. But Parcells annihilates this guy. And I'm, like I said, I'm not next to the guy, but I'm like in the vicinity of him where I go, you know what? I got nothing. I'm not even going to. Like, right after that, I'm not saying a thing. I don't care. I'm just going to let this go. I was so intimidated. I was a kid. I was 22, 23 years old at the time, and I'd just gotten in the business. That was just kind of scary to see Parcells obliterate that guy for that question. As you get older and you see it more and more, you see it less and less intimidating. And I think Varden, who's been around the league enough to go, I'm not putting up with this. No. When I say blowing out teams and you say it doesn't happen, no, it does happen. You do it all the time. This team has done it all the time. They win by 30 plus. Don't sit there on the podium and tell the American people that this is not a reality that you blow teams out. You do blow teams out, and you do it constantly in these kind of games. And I'm glad he did it. Because Popovich is going to try to spin it that, oh, this is, what do you mean blow teams out? We don't blow teams out on the international stage. What are you talking about? And Varden's like, no, stop. No. You do. And you're not doing it right now. You're getting blown out by these teams. These teams are not as competitive as you are. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the All-Star game last night, a 5-2 victory for the American League, 8 straight for the AL. Anything to dissect? And what about the missing players that should have been there? Should something happen for Major League Baseball to get them there? Next, as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or a service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All-Star game last night won by the American League again. 8 straight times that they've won the All-Star game. 2012 was the last one the National League won.
Saw someone put down, does this make them a dynasty?
Yeah, the American League dynasty at the All-Star game.
You can't really have that, right?
It's weird because there's really, like, if I were Steve Gardner or Jared Diamond or a number of our baseball guys, Bob Nightingale, the guys who really cover the game, if I were to say to them, do you guys notice, is there something that the National League doesn't have in these games? Or is there something the American League does have in this? They couldn't say anything. They'd probably be like, nope. It's like a roulette wheel coming up red all the time.
Yeah,
there's no rhyme or reason for
luck.
It. Just no rhyme or reason for it. It's like you would think black would eventually pop up on the roulette wheel, but sometimes red gets a 13 wheel spin run. And it's the same thing here. Like, because the American League isn't managed by the same guy. And they don't have the consistently same players, right? I mean, it's a revolving door of superstars that come through. And yet the American League finds a way to win games. And I think it's just because that's just the way it goes. Somebody wins and it just happens to be the AL in a weird sort of anomaly that occurs. Actually, it's not weird because the National League had won a number of straight All-Star games back in the 70s and 80s, and the American League had another run. And so these goes, they go in streaks. But did you notice that there were guys not there, right? Now, look, Mike Trout's not going to be there because he's hurt, right?
Yep.
But Mookie Betts claimed to be hurt and didn't show up. Jacob deGrom just flat out admitted, I don't want to be there. I'm going to be with my family. Now, some guys went, even if they weren't going to play. Gerrit Cole went to the All-Star game. He was not scheduled to pitch, but he went anyway because he was a representative of the American League. He was voted in by his peers. He went to the game. But other players didn't. And
all
now,
the Astros.
And all of the Astros. That's the other important thing. All of the Astros said no to going to the All-Star game. Now, if you're Rob Manfred, if you're negotiating with the players' union, they wanted to make it mandatory that if you get voted into the All-Star game, you have to go. It's a hard thing to negotiate because players want the option. But the players always find a way out of this thing, even if they don't want to go. So if you are a player like Mookie Betts and you have a home run on Saturday and a home run on Sunday, and then you go, yeah, I got this thing that's bothering me in the leg. It would be great if I spent time with my wife and kids or whatever he's doing. They can't fight that. They got to, you know, they'll always find a doctor that will say, you know what's best for you? How many days off do you have till next game? 4. 4 days off would be great. Recovery. They'll always find a doctor that will do that for them. Right? And Nick Castellanos said it like he said, look, I went, it was my first All-Star game. But you know what? The time off is really important. They don't have a lot of time during the season to be at home, be a husband, be a father, chill out, don't do anything. It's every single day. And when they're not playing, it's usually traveling. You know, they rarely have a day off where they're home, being able to do a little yard work, barbecue on the grill, hang out, do something else, maybe go to a movie, whatever it is they do, they don't. But the All-Star break, they can. And so players are starting to opt for that. Like I said, Jacob deGrom could have went, maybe not pitch, but could have went, been a Met, represented the Mets, showed up for the media, showed up for the fans, whatever it is that you want the players to do there, he could have done that. But flying out to Colorado, spending a few days doing that, flying back home, spending one day off, getting right back to the grind on Friday is probably something he said, nah, it's not worth it. Now, the Astros, that I would look into. The whole team decided not to go. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. I know they don't want to get booed and all that stuff, but that's ridiculous. Now, if you're Rob Manfred, you can't have an All-Star game if the option not to participate in the All-Star game is on the table.
Yeah.
You can't.
I mean, like in the Pro Bowl, the only teams that get that option, I mean, besides players who are injured, because we understand that, but the only teams that get that option are the ones in the Super Bowl, right?
Right, yeah.
Everyone else is expected to participate.
Expected to participate. Look, how you do this, right? Look, if you are an NBA superstar, well, you don't even have to be a superstar. You should pull that back a little bit. If you're just a really good player, having a really good year, would you ever turn down an All-Star game invite?
No.
Never.
Here's the deal. I'm not going to remember which pitcher it was or what team he played for, because we've already talked about, you know, the annoyance of that. But there was a pitcher yesterday, I think it was for the American League, who pitched, and he had pitched on Sunday. And, you know, he was asked, like, you don't have to pitch today. And he's like, I don't know when I'm ever going to get back here.
Yeah.
And that's why he pitched. He wanted to pitch in the All-Star game because he's having a great year. I think he's leading the league in wins or something like that, or is high up there. And it makes all the sense in the world. Now, I guess if you're like Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, or, you know, Jacob deGrom, or any of those guys, you probably think, I'll get elected next year. I'll get selected again. I don't care. But what if you're not? What if that was your last chance?
See, the thing about the NBA All-Star game is, because of what goes on that whole week, it's a huge party. It's an event. The players want to do that. The players want to be in that. Players who aren't even in the All-Star game go to that city because it is a lot of fun. A lot of fun. But also, there's a sort of camaraderie amongst the superstars at the NBA All-Star game where you wouldn't miss out on that. If you were a young player and you got your first All-Star game invite, or even if it was your second, you would say, look, there's an elite group of guys that are going to get to do this. There's a whole bunch of celebrities that show up. There's huge parties. I like parties. I'm young. I like rappers and singers and dancers and celebs. I'm going to this. I'm not staying home. I'm having a good time. If the players on Major League Baseball could create an atmosphere where you don't want to miss this, man, wherever we're going, it's a blast, and you don't want to miss out on it, then maybe you'll get one or two guys that will say, nah, I'm a family guy. I'm 30. I want to be with my kids. But you'd also create an environment where you wouldn't want to miss it. There seems to be this idea that players now really don't want to be there. And if you've got an atmosphere, and it doesn't even have to be true, if you have an atmosphere in the public that the players don't want to be at the All-Star game, why should I watch it? Right? Why should Americans pay attention to it? It's a celebration of baseball, Midsummer Classic. It's supposed to showcase the best players, players you don't get to see. And if those guys decide to stay home, why should I not watch something else? And that's what Rob Manfred has to deal with. He has to go to the union and say, look, guys, it's not a matter of paying. You guys make too much money. I need it in the contract that if you get voted, it's mandatory. You have to be there. And even if you're injured, if you can get on a plane, you still have to be there. You don't have to play, but you still have to be there. I don't know what he'd have to give up on his end of the deal to get that done, but he's got to work on getting that done. Because to have Jacob deGrom not even fake an injury, to just say, nah, family, I'm just chilling. I'm good. I don't need this. You can't have it, because there's a whole bunch of Jacob deGroms out there that don't want it. Mookie Betts. There's no way Mookie Betts has got nagging injuries, right? But he doesn't want to go. He didn't want to go. So he doesn't get to go. He doesn't have to go. Now, you'll always fill the roster. There's always guys who are like, I'm so excited to be here. Garrett Cole said it. Look, I wanted to be here. I'm not pitching, but I want to be here. There's always guys like that, but that's not the point. The point is, if you have 20% of the All-Stars not go and you're filling them with other guys, do you really have an All-Star game, or you just have a game of really, really good players? That's the problem they're going to have down the road.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Time now for Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell.
It's buy or sell time, as the announcer guy has pointed out. This is where we give you a scenario, or give me a scenario, and I either buy or sell it. We're doing the second half of the Major League Baseball season now that we're officially into it after the All-Star game yesterday. So let's get started, Ron Culver.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Buy or sell. Obviously, it's the year of Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani is it.
But the Angels' performance the rest of the season will cost him a chance at winning the Cy Young and MVP.
Ooh. I think it's going to cost him... No. I'm going to sell that. I think he's a shoo-in to win the MVP at this rate. Cy Young, I put him in there. I'm trying to figure out if they would do that for him. That's my thought. Would they actually give him both? Let's see.
Well, if he wins MVP, most likely he's going to get the Cy Young. That's usually how it works for pitchers.
No, because he'll get it because he has 33 home runs in the season.
He's confusing.
Right. Well, he only has 4 wins on the year. He's only 4-1. And like Chris Bassett of the A's has 10. So you've got Lance Lynn with a good ERA. You've got, a couple of other guys in the American League that have better pitching statistics. He could win MVP just being at the plate alone. But I don't know if he'd get Cy Young. I don't know if it'd carry over into the Cy Young, if that makes any sense. But it could. It could. The voters might be so enthralled by him that they might go, yeah, okay. Yeah, let's give him the Cy Young. But I mean, he doesn't lead in really any statistical category on the pitching side. But he's got 33 home runs, and that's pretty incredible. And 70 RBIs. All right, so I'm gonna sell that one. All right, what's the second one?
Number two, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will add some more hardware to his All-Star MVP. He will add AL MVP.
Yeah, this
as
is,
he secures the Triple Crown.
It's funny. I looked at the betting stats this morning, the betting numbers for the AL MVP, and it's pretty close. I thought it was a runaway for Shohei Ohtani,
yeah.
But it's not. Vladimir Guerrero is right there with him on the betting line, and that's a pretty good indicator.
For the batting crown, I mean, he's second in home runs to Shohei.
If Shohei Ohtani hits 60 home runs this year, then he'll win the MVP. But if he doesn't, if he cools down a little bit, we've seen players do this where, oh, God, he's on pace for 70 home runs, and then he doesn't even come close to that.
Yep.
If Ohtani slows down a touch, you're talking about Vladimir Guerrero, like you said, who's got 2 of the 3 Triple Crown categories right now and is only 5 back in the home run category. For the second part of the Triple Crown. You can't ignore that. You can't be all caught up in Shohei Ohtani's fantastic ability to pitch and hit and ignore a guy that could win the Triple Crown and may win the Triple Crown.
Right.
Right?
No, I mean, because he's leading the other categories. And like I said, second to Shohei. So, and not by much. I mean, what, Shohei had 30 or 31, and Vlad is at 28. So it's a close race. I don't think we're going to get a Summer of 98 issue out of these two, but...
I
can see Shohei cooling down a little bit, but Vlad is just, I don't know, I'm almost like a freak of nature the way he is.
I think that the voters really want a year of Shohei Ohtani.
I think so too.
I think that might influence where they go in their voting. All right, the third one.
Number three, Fernando Tatis Jr. and the rest of the Padres will win the NL West, narrowly beating out my Dodgers as the Giants fade away in the second half of the season.
I'm going to sell that. I think the Giants will stick around. I don't think they'll win. I think they won't fade away. I think in the end, 162 games tends to levy out the best team. I'm not sure the Giants are the best team. I don't think they are. I mean, they think they're just winning games, and that, I guess, that would make you the best team. Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay that, but you know what I mean? I mean,
no, I know exactly what you're saying.
Sometimes you play with house money when you know, and then eventually the house comes to collect. Does that make sense?
No, they're kind of like the A's.
Yeah.
I mean, who's on
like,
the
no
Giants?
One would say the A's are better on paper than most of the teams they would beat out record-wise.
I mean,
but they're a very, very good baseball team, and they happen to win a lot of games and how to win a lot of games.
Right.
But you're not keeping the Dodgers back, right? The Dodgers could go – the Dodgers are totally capable of winning 25 of 30 games.
Yes, they are.
Right? And the Padres, too. And – San Francisco can, but I'm not counting on it.
Right
now, there's a Giants fan really angry at me. He's like, I don't think you've seen one game this season of the Giants. And you'd be right. I don't think I have. So,
Outside of Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford, because he had that air yesterday. I can't name another Giant.
That's true. Evan Longoria.
Is he on the Giants?
He's on the Giants. Oh, and Mike Yastrzemski is on the Giants. Grandson of Carl Yastrzemski.
I know that guy.
Is on the Giants. The only reason I know that is because it seems my friends in Boston point out Mike Yastrzemski's thing on Twitter a lot.
And here's the issue. I know that's my bitter rival, right?
Right.
The Dodgers and Giants are a rival as old as time, but I'm more concerned about the Padres than I am about the Giants.
I would, too. All right, the fourth one.
Number four, the Mets won't be able to stop Jacob DeGrom from winning the NL Cy Young.
No, he's winning the NL Cy Young. He's winning the Cy Young.
Nothing the Mets can do. They can keep putting up goose eggs, and Jacob's going to still win the Cy
Young.
There
is, if you were to throw all of these into a computer, and the computer didn't have any feelings, and it was just statistically analyzing stuff, then possibly something. But I think that there is a complete understanding that the Mets screw this guy over a lot with the wins, and his ERA is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Modern-day Sandy Koufax. My father said that, and he doesn't use that lightly.
I think he's like 1.08
right now. It's insane. You're right, 1.08, yeah.
I think that's his ERA. So, I mean, I think he'll set the new mark for a season ERA, too.
Yeah, he's so good and phenomenal, and even if in the end the Mets continue to go, "Hey, I'm sorry, we only got half a run for you in this game. Sorry about that." I think in the end they'll still go, "Yeah, it's not his fault."
Yep.
He's magnificent.
All right, how about this one? The Yankees will just miss the playoffs, being edged out of the second wild card spot by the Blue Jays.
There is nothing to indicate to me other than hope of the roster, which I don't put a lot of stock in, but it doesn't mean it's not nothing, that indicates that the Yankees are capable of turning things around and being an outstanding baseball team.
Yep, I'm with you.
They've got a great lineup, but we've played over half of the season, and the Yankees have never showed me that they can dominate the division in the American League. Like, there isn't a switch that they go, okay, finally, let's click it on. They will win games where they will look amazing, hit five home runs, and then there are games where they're blanked and held to three hits.
Or they lose in spectacular fashion, like,
giving up six runs.
I mean, they won two out of three against the Astros here in Houston. And no one will talk about that at all.
Nope.
We all focus on the fact, like, yeah, but you guys had a six-run lead in the ninth inning. You lost.
Jose Altuve with a walk-off three-run home run. Unbelievable. A day after Aaron Judge mocked him.
Yes.
Mocked him.
Yeah, don't do that, I guess.
Let me put it this way. I'm not trying to be wishy-washy. I'm trying to say that. Would I be surprised if the Yankees made the playoffs? Absolutely not. Their roster's loaded. But tell me where it's coming. Tell me where it will come from. Tell me right now who turns this around for this. Because every single one on that lineup has failed at so many more times than they've delivered.
Or just finish that statement. You said you wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees made the playoff. Right now, you wouldn't be surprised if they didn't.
No, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
that's where we are with the Yankees.
There are teams that, you know, will show you promise. They just haven't shown me that this year. So I'm a little harder on them, but they got a unbelievable roster and they're not doing anything with it.
Yep.
All right.
Chris Bryant will be traded to the Dodgers.
Yeah. Chris Bryant's getting traded somewhere. Dodgers, I don't know, but he's getting traded somewhere.
They don't need a third baseman. As you know, MLB did a great, or Fox, I should say, and Joe Buck really did a great job yesterday pointing out he's an unselfish player and will play anywhere.
Right.
And then they throw up the stat where he's played this season. Like, I only knew Chris Bryant as a third baseman. I didn't know he's playing left. He's playing center. He's playing right. He's playing third. He's playing first. I'm surprised he hasn't caught a game or pitched a game yet.
The Cubs made the playoffs last year. They're eight games back in the division this year. And they've lost
11 games in a row.
11 game, there was an 11 game stretch where they won. Then they've had like two wins in the last 15 or something like that. I'm with you. I think they trade him, and that has been a rumor though for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah,
but it seems like this year is where they can part ways with them. And
because early on, the Cubs are going to be buyers at the trade deadline, right? And then 11 game losing streak, and they're like, they're shopper or they're sellers.
God, it wasn't that long ago that he came onto the scene, right? 2015, I think. Yeah, is when he made still, his, was making his debut.
And is he still on his rookie deal too? Because
yeah, I think
remember
so.
That he was famously
it's affordable to get rid of him. That's the deal.
Well, he was famously he was held back.
Yeah,
in,
that's right.
In minor leagues for
he went
what,
to
three
Iowa,
weeks or something.
I think. Yeah.
It's like if we hold him down here for 3 or 4 weeks, then we can bring him up and we get a whole another year of him. Well, this is that whole
I
year.
I think you're right.
And I think he's going to get a big payday, which the Cubs don't want to pay.
The Cubs don't want to do it. Some other team will do it. It makes sense to jettison him out and see what happens.
Which, by the way, you know, when you talk about
Theo's still running the team or did he leave?
I think he's still running the team.
Okay.
But I was going to bring this. We didn't bring this up yesterday, which I thought was funny, that Pete Alonso has made more money in his 2 home run derby wins than he has that he makes in a season.
This is how little attention I pay to players' salaries. I had no idea Pete Alonso was making $670,000 a year.
He's making a minimum.
If you said to me, okay, let me point this out to you. If somebody had a gun to a family member, like my wife's head,
yeah,
and said, tell me the range of Pete Alonso's salary, I'd be like, honey, I got this. Your life, don't you worry, honey. It's all good. Between $1 and $3 million.
I'd even go higher.
I might even go higher. I might say 2 to 4.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was making 600 grand.
600 grand.
Pete Alonso? I was like, wow.
I was just amazed. He's made
more money.
He made
more money winning that home run derby he's making all year.
Yeah.
And then I was that confident he was at least 7 figures.
And then
easily.
take the previous one. In 2 years, 2 seasons worth of baseball, he's made more money. Actually, you can say in those 2 home run derbies, all 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Because I think everyone got a discount last year.
I think ESPN has a little website, on their website, you can see salaries. I should probably peruse that.
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while, just to make sure I got my mindset right.
Yeah.
600 grand.
Mets will be sellers at some point because they spent all their money on other people.
For what he delivers to the Mets, this would be like paying your employee 15 cents a day.
Right.
Like, they're paying him pocket change. They pay more to Bobby Bonilla than they do to a guy that produces every night on
there
the field for them.
There it is.
They get more money a year to Bobby Bonilla not on the team than they do to a guy that is like one of the faces of the franchise. Crazy. All he does is go to all-star games and hits clutch home runs for you.
All he does is hit dingers.
Exactly. Do you got one more?
I got one final one.
All right.
The Astros will finally stop being booed at ballparks across the country by season's end.
There is a window of this ending, right? It's
There's
not going to
last
forever.
There's got to be.
These things don't usually last forever.
Yeah. I don't know if it's this season.
I got to think that it lasts all the way to the end of the
yeah.
year.
I do too.
I think it lasted the year.
Because here's the deal, right? They make the playoffs. I mean, I'm pretty certain they're going to make the playoffs. They're
right.
Leading the AL West right now. But when they make the playoffs, that fever will come back during the playoffs.
I agree completely. Without question. That gets ramped up. You're right. That gets ramped up. By next year, don't you think it'd be like, okay, done.
Gotta stop.
Gotta stop. Move on. It's something else.
And get back to traditional booing. Like my
yeah.
son asked me yesterday, he's like, why are they booing the Dodgers? I'm like, well, because it's the Rockies.
The Rockies.
You know, NL West.
Somebody pointed this out that the Arizona Diamondback player didn't get booed. Everybody in the division got booed.
Well, not really. Giants, I was looking. I noticed that too, Tony. Giants and Padres.
The Giants
Fernando
didn't get
Tatis Jr. didn't get booed.
Yeah, that's probably
but
true.
But Max Muncy immediately after got
immediately
booed.
Immediately got booed. They didn't even boo the Diamondback player.
Dave Roberts was announced before Tatis.
Oh, he got booed.
And he got booed. And then Max Muncy. So there was a booing sandwich around.
Freddie Freeman said he was glad he didn't get booed. And I think, why would people in Colorado boo you?
Yeah, they don't care about you.
They don't care about you. You play in the beautiful state of Atlanta, Georgia. You're far from Colorado. You were not messing with the Rockies.
Yeah, why? Because they wouldn't boo them there. I was going to say maybe because the All-Star game moved out of Atlanta.
That's
possibly. Moved to Colorado, so
right.
They would be excited about it. They don't care.
Don't go blaming Freddie Freeman and his beautiful family.
Yes.
Blonde wife and blonde child who loves Fernando Tatis Jr.
Well, they have 2 other kids, too, but they didn't make the trip.
They ignored them.
They got like twin girls, I think.
Wow, what a...
So, but,
what an all of... They should just put them on Christmas cards and send them to everybody.
Well, I mean, I'm going to send that out as my Christmas card.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's what I should do.
Yeah.
I should get his family photo and go, Merry Christmas from all of us and the Freemans.
Yes.
Aren't they a beautiful family?
Meanwhile, I can't get my family together for a picture if my life depended on it.
Yep.
Everybody's in 20 different places. But the Freemans enjoy the beautiful all-American Freeman family. Jeez, that's crazy. All right, that's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Filling in for Jake Asman today, and we will be doing that the rest of the week. Coming up next hour, Ryan Ballinger will join us. We'll talk about the British Open that's coming up starting Thursday at Royal St. George's in Sandwich, England. Is that where the sandwich got invented? Is that where they call that?
The Duke Earl of Sandwich?
Or the Earl of Sandwich?
I guess
that's what it be, right?
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Is there another sandwich that had an Earl that put meat between two pieces of bread?
It's like, you know, Hamburg, Germany. Isn't that where the hamburger came from?
I would think so. Is that right?
I don't know.
Royal St. George's. Real quick, one of the 1993, Greg Norman won there, and it was cloudy and really nasty, but they put the Norman and the golfers in contention put on a show. Rick Riley said the weather cleared up because even God wanted to see it. And it was a magnificent performance. Happened at Royal St. George's in 1993, second British Open for Greg Norman. So just a little bit of a little golf trivia for you when you watch the Open this week. Ryan Ballinger will have a good, bad, and the dumb as well. So continue.